Welcome to the live stream today. Good to have everybody here. I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. God bless all of you today. We're here. We got quite a few people here today. That's very cool. Let's dive right into it, okay? How many remember it was actually, ironically, last Mother's Day I taught on leaving your first love. I actually want to continue that today. And if you were in that meeting there, that was online, we answered a couple of questions. Number one, you remember in the first church, the book of Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, the Lord said, I have this thing against you. And it was, you have left your first love. Remember what we said that was? Why did you leave your first love? You found iniquity in the Lord. Now imagine that. Now that was I got a lot of response back from that. First of all, it was God's love we left. It wasn't our love for God we were leaving, although you did. It was God's love toward us that we're walking away from. Now what happens when you walk away from God's love? Now that is what I want to address today. What happens when you walk away from God loving you? That's a serious thing. If you look at the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that many things happened once that took place. Because in the churches, there were false Jews. Anybody ever said you were a Jew and you weren't? Anybody ever counted yourself as an apostle and you weren't? Anybody ever said your works weren't good enough? Anybody ever had the doctrine of Jezebel working in you? Or the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? Or the doctrine of Balaam? All of these things were happening in the churches, okay? So after you leave your first love, you know what happens? You decline. Let's say it that way. You begin to go downward in your thoughts. But then I want to get to, after the churches, there's an amazing thing in chapter 4 begins to happen. All of heaven is revealed in the book of Revelation. Chapter 2 and 3 is of the churches. Chapter 1 was of the revelation of Jesus. And then you get to chapter 4 and then they show you heaven. The 24 elders, the four beasts, the throne, all of it is just magnificent. And then they reveal the book that is going to change your life, the book of heaven. It's a book, Tim, that is sealed with seven seals. And let me tell everybody something. You have to experience this book. This book is the book that will change your life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to rehearse a little bit of that book today for you. Because after you walk away from the Lord, God's love, which everybody does, let's face it, have always told you, you're Adam. Now remember, when you look at Adam, did Adam sin against God? Did Adam bring sin into the world? Yes. Do you have that first man nature of Adam? Is it a bad nature? Yeah. It works death and corruption. But then there's more to it. There's one thing to be dead. Say, like, to be carnally minded is death, Keith. So, but what if it goes past that? What if death is at work? But there's a next step that goes worse than the carnal mind. Is there a death that's worse than the carnal mind? Yes. Is there a consciousness that's worse than the carnal mind? Yes. And that's what I want to do. What happens is when the seven seals begin to be opened, you're going to learn that there is a consciousness that is way worse than just being in the carnal mind. Did you know that? In other words, the carnal mind is bad. That's where you think earthly. That's where you lust after earthly things. That's where you struggle in war every day in your consciousness that opposes against God. Okay? Everybody's going to walk in that. Everybody is going to have a part of the carnal mind working in them of some level, because that's Adam. That's what happened. But then, when Jesus is revealed and the manifestation of God comes forth, because this hasn't happened for everybody, okay? But consciously, you want Christ to rise up. That's true, isn't it? You want Christ to rise up in you. But if he does, what do you think's coming next? What do you think? Would it be time for, if Christ rose up, that Antichrist would rise? So when you talk about the revelation of Jesus and you have Christ on the rise, you also have to deal with an Antichrist that's going to rise up as well. But what a revelation this is going to be, Tim. So all of heaven stands up in chapter 4 and 5. And the angel showing John, there's this book that needs to be opened. And there says, "Behold the Lamb of God. He's worthy to open the book." Now remember, in the churches, would the Lord end every church with? If you overcome, if you overcome, if you overcome, you will eat off the tree of life. Oh boy, that's good. Because you left your first love, you got put out of the garden. So the first thing that is restored to you is what? You get to go back to the garden and eat off the tree of life. You got a new name. You're a pillar in the temple of God, and you'll never leave again. You'll sit with him in his throne. That's awesome. These are awesome things that the overcomer gets. You'll rule the nations. All your enemies, you'll rule over. That's cool. Those are the promises that happens if you overcome. Now I got to tell you what you got to overcome. So let me dive into this for a moment. How many of you would like to at least get to the first four seals that are opened? This is the consciousness that is beyond the carnal mind, is what I'm saying. Okay? Carnal mind death, Antichrist mind, that's another level. Some of you might say, "Well, I've been to Antichrist." Well, carnal mind is an Antichrist, but imagine being the Antichrist. It's going to be something, okay? Let's read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals," John saying this, "and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth to conquer." Look at this. So number one, well, I drew that up there, but number one, white horse. What was he? Did I spell that right? He was a conqueror. Number one, he was a conqueror. Okay? So a white horse conquers. Who's he trying to take the place of? Everybody tell me. Who is a white horse, a rider of a white horse, who's he trying to imitate? Christ. Who's the rider of the white horse in glory? It'd be Jesus. So notice, now I'm going to set four things out for you, and I'm going to show you what happens to you after you leave your first love. Okay? The first thing, that seal is opened up and the white horse comes in and he conquers you. That's the first thing that happens. You get conquered. You know why? Did you leave out from under the covering, Amanda? When you leave out from under the covering of the love of the Lord, what do you think you're susceptible to? To be conquered. Now, you have no idea what's hitting you at this point, okay? He is a conqueror. Number two, not much reading on each seal as well. And there went out, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Oh, notice this, a red horse. And you know what he did? Now there's war. No peace. What do you think begins to happen in you when this seal is opened up and all of a sudden this Antichrist consciousness comes into you? Do you think that your thoughts will begin to betray one another and make war with one another? Do you think that now you thought the lust was bad and the war was bad? When you leave your first love and God is not there to cover you, all of a sudden, this conqueror will come in, and now in your thoughts, you are going to war. And it said that they would kill one another and betray one another. And another good follow-up, if you want to read this at another time, is in 2 Thessalonians 2. And then also in Matthew 24, rumors of wars he talked about. There will be great rumors of wars. And in your consciousness, this Antichrist will rise up and make war. Let me keep going. Then we'll cover it all. Number three. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. Interesting. I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of wheat, or three measures of barley for a penny. And see, you do not hurt the oil and the wine. What do you think that means? Any clue? I'll tell you what it means. This was a black horse. You know what it means? There's going to be famine. Or let me put it this way. It's going to be scarce. That's, I didn't spell that right. Scarce. I don't even know how to spell scarce. It's going to be scarce. The word of God all of a sudden becomes scarce. This, the way it reads, is kind of like a, if you looked at an economy, it'd be kind of like the inflation. All the food prices skyrocket type of thought, okay? I'm just trying to help relate it. What happens is all of a sudden the word of God in you becomes so expensive in you, in a sense, you can't even afford it anymore because you're too busy warring and being conquered that your word of God in you has no value. Does that make sense? Like a money becomes of no value. Your word has now become of no value to you. This is what happens when you get conquered and you leave the love of Christ. All of a sudden that war takes place. Famine is working in you. And then number four, we've got the pale horse. And he's going to bring death. Let's read that. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them. Death and hell. Notice it says them. Are we talking about, have you ever considered death as an image or hell as an image? He gave power unto them. Interesting, huh? Over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death, and with the beast of the earth. So notice this fourth seal is death, and hell followed. Now, I wrote those four on the board. What is this a revelation of? Is it Antichrist? Is it, let me write it in simpler terms that you guys would relate to. Is it the old man who has now been given power by God to conquer? What do you think, Micah? Is it the man of sin? You guys are used to these terms. The man of sin that has now risen up and taken on authority and power to overcome you. Here's what happens. In the revelation of Jesus, there is a really interesting thing that all of us must go through, okay? And in guiding you, you have to be prepared for this, okay? In those churches, when Adam left his first love, what was the commandment of God to do? To remember. There you go. To remember and do your first works. So there had to be some first works present that you need to remember, isn't there? What do you think all this preaching and teaching is to help you do? Remember. Isn't salvation, isn't your life, isn't your journey here about remembrance? It is. So to remember what happened to, all through the scriptures, what happened to the people of God continually? Do you see a pattern? They would forget. And then once they forgot, because that's what happened when you got put out of the garden, right? That's what happened when these lies come in and deceive you. You leave your first love, all of a sudden you forget. Then what happened? Say again? Yes. All of a sudden, you got led astray, he said, to serve other gods. Is that true? How do you think this white horse comes in? Does he deceive you? Do you actually going to bow down and start worshiping him and not realizing that he is going to conquer you and deceive you? This is what we were talking about, Micah, you and I. Micah mentioned a few things to me before church. Is it possible that you could underestimate the power of this conqueror? When you look upon him, imagine a white horse, and you look upon him and realize, wow, this is the white horse. Is it possible to be deceived that he is actually anti-Christ? How does that work in you today? Do you think it's been possible for some of you to believe revelations that you called God that wasn't really God? Is that possible? Thursday night, we actually dealt with thoughts, and we used Naomi as the example. You deal with thoughts about when you started serving the Lord, and you decided what you were going to be and who you were going to be in God from your early stages of life. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm just a follower. I'm just a helper. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. But other than that, that's all I am. And then we tell God, that's who I am. But God's got another plan for us. Don't you want God's plan? Or do you want your own? How many of you still want to believe what you tell yourself is God? Or would you rather let God tell you who you are and remain in the counsel of the holy? That's what you want. That's what you want. Think about this. Once Christ is raised up and revealed, you can bet it's guaranteed the intensity of the man of sin rising up in you, it will be there. It has to be there. Anybody that's ever experienced Jesus Christ in a real true revelation, you can bet on it. The revelation of this conqueror is on its way. Because that's more than just the carnal mind. I'm telling you, how many of you have warred in the things of God just in your mind? You just war, and sometimes you feel like it and sometimes you don't. Anybody ever just done, one day you've done good things because you feel like it for God, and then the next day you don't feel like it, so you don't. Anybody ever struggle with that? Yeah, everybody. You know what that is? It's just the carnal mind. It's just death. But let me tell you what you do when you get conquered and you start warring in your thoughts, and then you start accusing God and accusing yourself and accusing others. This is where the real man of sin starts rising up. And you ain't just out to think a thought, are they evil or am I wrong? Or it's just not like that. All of a sudden, true offense rises up. And I mean accusation that starts to test you and begin to reveal in you that this man of sin is the most wicked, evil entity that you have ever faced. And let me tell you, he's real. He is real. And God wants him to be manifest. And while our world is waiting for this to all take place out here in our world, there's so much speculation about where this man's going to come from. Some people say he's already here. Some people say he's not here. Some people say he's a child. Some people say, no, it's years to come. It's all kinds of things. And yet, what God wants to do is give us the revelation now so that we can experience this man of sin for one simple reason. What must happen? What is the point of revealing this man of sin? This Antichrist. What's the point? Anybody? That you overcome him. The revelation of Jesus cannot be fulfilled unless he overcomes the anti himself. Isn't that something? So would you want to just stay in the carnal mind and struggle all your life? Or do you want to get on with the show and deal with the real Antichrist, the real man of sin, where he's raised up and you have to look him in the eye and realize that he has power over you. Now, let me share a couple of prophecies to you. Did you know that the Bible says, and Daniel prophesied this, that the saints will be given over to him for a time? Did you know John prophesied that too in the book of Revelation? You will be given over to him. Look at the pattern in the Bible. Anybody that forgot, Don, because you answered that as forgetting, anybody that forgot, what happened to them? Were they given over to their enemies? When you leave your first love, what do you think happens to you? You're given over. And you know what's interesting? You can fight it all you want to, but until you understand him, death and hell, he will bring you to death and hell. And there is nothing. You think Jesus did not go through this right here? How many think Jesus went through this? He did. You say, well, no, he went to the wilderness and conquered. Sure. But did he find himself in a garden praying to his father? What was he fighting? Was he fighting the war? Was he fighting on the cross when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Was he fighting it? Did he go to hell and overcome it? You bet he did. The thing about Jesus was he wasn't like Israel, who were succumbed to Pharaoh and all its enemies over and over and over again, and King of Babylon and so forth. Jesus went through this, faced this Antichrist, and overcame him, and then rose from the grave. Isn't that awesome? How many of you would like to do that? Yeah, you would. Yes, you would. And that's the cool thing, is What I'm after here today is kind of a heavy teaching in some regards, but you have to know if you want to be spiritual, you have to know that this revelation's got to come up in you. And it is more than what most people just face on a daily basis. It's more. When you rise up and you look this man of sin in the eyes and you realize his power and his evil and his wickedness and the death that he brings death. The swords that these riders are given to conquer with, their word is powerful. But did you know? Because I'm not going to go into the other seals as much right now. In seal number 5, who are they under the altar? The souls under the altar. Who are they?
Saints.
Yeah. Is it the ones that are crying out who have experienced this conqueror and are now crying out, how long, O Lord? How long are you going to let him exist? How long are you going to let him reign? When are you going to raise us up to conquer him? What do you need in you when this conqueror comes? When he's overcome you, what do you need in you?
The saints cry out.
Oh, you need somebody praying, don't you? You need the word of the Lord praying in you. Because the whole aspect of these seals being opened are the mysteries, the secrets. So imagine if the secrets of God are opened up in you and you see the real story of what God is doing. Like I said, this is kind of a heavy teaching in the regard that I have learned that most people just want to go about their life and believe in God and love God and serve God to the best they can. But what I'm preaching to today are the ones that say, you know what? I want the story. I want the rest of it. I want to see the mysteries and the secrets. Like I'm happy serving the Lord. Man, I've talked with people that are happy and can't, they're not condemned about much of anything. They live for God every day and they say God's blessing me and all of that. But when you talk to them, they have no depth of the secrets. And so do you want to stay that way? Because here's what happens. It's like, actually, this is an interesting statement. Naomi said to me the other day, said, you know, the last couple of years, you've been a lot more happier. Remember saying that the other day? Do you know what my answer was? You know how many years it took to get through that revelation? You ain't always happy getting through that revelation. So if you want to go, Tim, from being happy, singing about how good God is, to walking with your head down, just begging God for mercy, that's that revelation. That's not the happy, feel-good sermon this morning. But if you want to walk through this conqueror where you learn the depths of Satan and the sin that is manifested, this is the revelation you want. This is the one, but trust me when I say, when you come out the other side, oh boy, no more having your head down. You have learned that there is one Christ that overcomes sin and death and hell. You will learn that you are partakers with Jesus Christ and nothing will ever separate you from the love of God again. Remember that in Romans? What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Nothing. All you need to do is learn that. Because I'm going to tell you, isn't it interesting? Now, there was a day I might could have been shaken. You say, are you going to live for God? I'm trying. I want to. Now? Oh, no. Ain't none of that trying stuff. I have seen the salvation of the Lord, and this conqueror has been conquered. And when you go through that revelation, you're not going to be asked the question, will you, can you, can you make it? Oh, nuh-uh. You will walk in the works of God. You will talk the works of God. You will stand in the fervency of the power of the anointing of God. Question for you. Do you want that revelation? And this is what I'm not even going to have you raise your hand today. I'm going to have you think about it. This is that question, will you lay your life down? Will you lay your life down? And before I end this stream today, Naomi said something to me, because we used her as the example Wednesday night. And she said something very, very important that I think most people deal with. The question that we were dealing with were, do you see yourself as being ministry or something greater in God? Now, this is what I'm talking about. Do you see yourself going through this revelation? Okay, that's what I'm asking, right? The answer sometimes is, I'm not sure I want to lay my life down that much. Wow. That's what we deal with, isn't it? So what do you need? You need somebody to come and guide you into doing that. So how many disciples do we have that can trust the Lord to come to them, spend 3.5 years and guide you through the idea of learning to lay your life down? It's not even something you got to do today, Micah, like, oh, I got to lay my life down. Bam, it's over. I got to be perfect. No, it's follow me. I will help you lay your life down. And 3 years from now, you will be jumping for joy to lay your life down. All you got to do is follow. That's it. Wouldn't that be cool? So I ask you today online, do you want to lay your life down? Do you want this revelation? Or do you want to view Christ as being God Almighty, the love of my life, and I'm okay with where I'm at, but I'm good. I feel good about it. Or do you want to go through the mysteries and have all of the mysteries of God opened up to you? That's the question we got to make. I pray that you answer that question this week, and sometimes in Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe we'll have the chance to dive back into some of those things. As of right now, God bless you. I'll talk to you next week. All right, now let's get down to business. First off, what do you guys think? Talk to me for a minute. Are you thinking? Yeah, Deborah.
So tell me if I understood that this is a revelation, it's a process that maybe some of us are going through and maybe some of us aren't.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to want to go through
this. Well, just be willing. And want is a decent word. It's just that sometimes you don't always want to, but you're willing.
Okay.
And I say that, I break that down, because sometimes you're fighting desire, but desire is not the secret, is it? The will. You know there's a difference, right? My will is for God to take me through it, but I don't always want to. In a sense. Do you want to be conquered? Anybody? Anybody want to be conquered? No. Do you, Don?
If it gets me through all that.
You're willing. You're willing, but you may not quite want to with desire, but you're willing. That's what I'm after. Does that make sense? So what you do is you just always set your life up as a opportunity for God to give you his mysteries, give you his secrets. if you set your life up as a willing servant of God to come in and say, God, do your will. Do your will. I'm willing to let you do your will right here. I don't even know. I'm not sure I want to. I'm not even sure what to say about any of it because you don't even know what to expect. I mean, you say, do you want to go to jail? Do you want to go to jail for 10 years? Do you want to? So that you could learn the power of overcoming prison. Anybody? Any takers? See, when you think of it physically, you go, heck no. Because you've seen enough TV shows and enough instances with people to know, I want nothing to do with jail. Now imagine knowing what you're getting into when a conqueror comes and puts you in prison. Would you want to? No. No. That's why God keeps these things from you, because if you actually knew, you'd never do anything.
Were you referencing the church of Smyrna?
Right on.
Yeah, I got that scripture.
Read it. Read it, Tim. Read it loud, though, so they can hear you.
To the church of Smyrna, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death.
Hear that? I was thinking of that too. And 10 days, here you go. But be faithful. Be faithful to what? We're not talking about just the death of the carnal mind. Did you guys, I hope you saw today, there's a difference. I hope you're not thinking, well, I'm in death all the time, so I'm dealing with this Antichrist conqueror. No, you got remnants of him. It's his order. It's his law. It's his authority in a sense. But you haven't faced him. You don't take a kingdom without taking the king, Keith, do you? You don't. You have to take the king to take the kingdom. So what do you think he is? Oh, yeah. And he likes it. So you want to give yourself to that. Who else? Anybody?
Dan, I think you even kind of emphasized it there at the end, because sometimes you see that the thought is like, that all has to happen right now in this instance. But you even said that, like, use the example of the disciples where Jesus didn't ask them to lay down their life the very first day when he said, follow me. When he taught them to that point.
He did. Mm-hmm. He will. But the thing I was saying too is you got to, what are the clues that you're about to go through this? The revelation of Jesus. That's the clue. Now let me show you what most people bring me. Okay, and I've said this over and over again. I get these text messages a lot. I'm starting to see what's keeping me away from God. I'm seeing the lie that's working in my mind. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing the doubt that's been in me. And yet, all before that, I've never heard them say, any of you or they, it's in general, if you've done this, wear the shoes. I've never heard you say, I saw the Lord rise up in me. I saw the Lord. What does that tell me?
Your own thoughts.
You're just in the carnal mind. Yeah, your own thoughts. You're just in the carnal mind. You're fighting the carnal mind. And you can't even overcome the carnal mind till you overcome him. So my point is, the first thing, and I know this because of experience, the first thing that happened to me was the experiences of Jesus came first. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't deal with the man of sin before that. I saw quite a bit of things, but I didn't understand them. It wasn't until the revelation of Jesus rose up that I realized then I could conquer this conqueror. How are you going to conquer him, Tim, if you're in the carnal mind? Is the blind leading the blind? Who in here likes to be blind and lead the blind? You have to. The only way you go after him and overcome him is when you have the real king on the white horse. Remember Revelation 19, where the rider of the white horse, what's his name? The Word of God. He conquers them. But you can't conquer this next level consciousness without him. That's why we go, well, I'm fighting the old man, or I'm fighting the man of sin. And, oh, I'm waiting for him to be revealed. Well, he's working there. You're just dealing, I know I've said it this way, Tim, you deal with all the effects that you miss him. He hides behind all the images and the consciousness that he produces. So while you're battling with fear, you're so busy with fear, you can't see him. While you're battling with unbelief, you're so busy battling with that and its effect that you can't see him. Is that clear? I mean, so he's deceiving you, catching you up in all the effect. I know this because of that dream where I went and I looked at all the enemies, the spirits that had overcome me over and over and over again, and now finally I had slain all of them. And then he came out of me as an image of, it was a darkened glass figure of a, had the image of a man, but it was like a darkened glass. And it was so amazing to me when I looked upon him. I was so amazed of how, well, beautiful he was and deceptive. That was my first seeing him. Till later that week, I saw him for who he really was. But when he came out of me, I was like, wow. Then I knew how great he was at deceiving. I thought, no wonder I got so deceived. He's the most beautiful thing I'd seen in an enemy. So my point was, you know how many enemies? There were hillsides of enemies, hillsides of enemies, hillsides of enemies that were slain just to get to him. So you might have to deal with some few thoughts. All those were thoughts in me. Hoping I'm making sense to somebody. Yeah. What else?
I was just comparing to what Job got, took the hatch down and sank.
Right. Here's the thing. Same thing, Dave. See, because and his question was, how does this compare to Job? It's very similar in the regard that, you know, Satan came before them with the sons of God and appeared before man. What Job didn't know was his knowledge was Satan. It was this. So imagine, Dave, how subtle it is in you to think, I just have knowledge. I just have knowledge working in me. My knowledge is my enemy. We don't even know the depths of Satan. So when Job got all the way down to where the Lord appeared to him in the whirlwind, who did the Lord begin to reveal to him? This. All of this here. It had overcome him. And then when you look at those friends, you could find those friends in here. Those were his thoughts. So it very much applies. But he had to repent, didn't he? And I think that's the key, is when we face this conqueror, you have to come to a repentance, which is really cool. So yeah, big time. Hopefully that answered your question. Any other questions? Good Father's Day teaching. Let the Lord God Almighty reign on high. Okay, any other comments then? No questions, comments? Add-ons? You want to give me some money? Okay, well, we'll see you tomorrow night online. And thanks for coming. Try to be courteous to everybody as you go out of here. And if you want to hang out and talk for a little bit, just maybe stay in this room, hang out. That's what everybody did last week. Cool. Okay, guys. If you have any thoughts, think on these things. If you have any thoughts, let me know this week, and I'll hook up with you on that, okay?